Ready to go to the Word? Amen. Let's do this thing, but first let's pray. I need it this morning. Lord, we thank you that today is a day that you've made. Whether you get me up at 3:30 in the morning like you did today, or if I get to sleep in, it doesn't matter because your grace is always enough. And so, Lord, we're turning to your Word because you're worthy. We're turning to your Word because we're desperate to know you more. We're turning to your Word, God, because in your Word is where we find life. It's where we find every single answer to every single question that we have, because it's where we find you living and breathing and speaking to us. And so have your way. Do your work. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, last month, we concluded a series of messages that were titled The Expanding Church. If you remember, I'm sure you do, we had several of those messages, and we always talked about how the Lord is expanding us from the inside out. We started off by talking about expanding our vision and then expanding our love. We then talked about expanding our worship. And then the fourth message of the series was titled, Expanding Our Faith. Expanding Our Faith. And it seemed clear to me that everyone here in this church family had a desire to have their faith expanded. So I'm going to get interactive with you right off the start here, and I want you to answer this question. Do you still have a desire for your faith to be expanded?
Yes.
I'm going to ask it again. That was okay, but it's 10:50 a.m., and I think you got a little more life in you already today. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you have a desire for your faith to be expanded?
Yes!
Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Man, I sure do. I have a deep, deep, deep desire for my faith to increase, to expand. I'm desperate. And I'm so needing for my confidence in God to grow. I want my devotion to God to go deeper. I want my trust in Him to go higher. I want my faith in God to be big. I do. I don't want to live any other way. I want my faith in God to be a big, big faith. After all, here's what God's Word says about big faith. Look at Psalm 125. Psalm 125, right off the bat in verse 1. God's Word says, those who trust, and I'm going to use this term instead of trust, those who have big faith in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken and endures forever. Now, I don't like being shaken, and I still get shaken sometimes. Stuff happens in life. People say things. I experience things. Whatever it might be, I start getting shaken a little bit. I'm tired of being shaken. So I'm going to be one of those who has big faith, who's going to trust in the Lord, because I'm ready to be stable and endure forever with Him and in Him. It says this in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope, and again, I'm going to use that phrase, those who have big faith in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And in my notes, I said, I want some of that. I want some of that. I want my strength to be renewed. I don't want to trudge through life, but I want to be able to soar through life on wings like eagles. That's called soaring with the grace of Jesus through life instead of trudging through it with what the world gives or what you can come up with on your own. Big faith. That's the connection right there. Big faith. It says this in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. But blessed is the man, woman, person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence, and I'm going to say whose big faith, Blessed is the person whose big faith is in Him, because he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is the big stuff of God. The promises of God. And the big stuff of God comes as a result of big faith. I was reminded in that message about expanding faith that the Lord gave us last month, that He gave us a strategic kind of foundational truth, a statement that grabbed me when He gave it to me, and it came back to me as I was preparing to launch into this new series that we're launching into right now. Here's the statement. Our faith is only as big as our view of God. Let me say that again. Isn't the first time I've heard it either. He's told this to us last month, right? Our faith is only as big as our view of God. What does that mean? That means then that if we want our faith to expand, then our view of God must expand. That's the connection right there. So I'm ready to make God big again. Are you ready to make God big again? Well, good, because that's the title of the series that we're launching into right now. So you're going to hear a lot about making God big again. It's also the title of this introductory message. Make God big again. Now look, I want you to make sure you understand what I'm not saying by this title about make God big again. I'm not saying that we can change God. I'm not saying that we can add to God. That's not what we're talking about making God big again. What we're talking about in this series and where God is leading us for the next several weeks is we need to make God big again in our lives. In our lives. Because He's already big. Always has been, always will be. He is big. He's a big, big Father. Oh, it's a good, good Father. But He's a big, big Father too, right? He's already big. We can't change Him or make Him bigger, but we can make Him big in our lives. We can make Him big again in our hearts. We can make Him big again in our speech. We can make Him big again in our prayers. We can make Him big again in our devotion. We can make God big again in us and through us. There may be one or two people in here now that are still saying, but why? The rest of you, I already hear it. I already see it in your faces. You're like, come on, let's get on with this thing. This is exciting. But the reason we got to make God big again in our lives is because we have a tendency as people to make God small. We have a tendency, and it was interesting, Dave, you had that word. We have a tendency to put God in a box. We do. We have a tendency to put Him in a box, to make Him small, put Him in a little box. Look at that little box. I found that little picture. It's so nicely wrapped. It's Jake's birthday tomorrow. He's going to be 21. Come on. And so I was putting a present in a box today. It's not wrapped yet, and there's not a nice little bow on it yet. But I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, this is what we like to do with God, though. We like to get them nice and small and tidy and put them in a little box and wrap them all up with a little bow on it. That's what we like to do. We like to make them small. Maybe we don't like to, but we tend to. You say, well, how do we make them small? Well, instead of believing for that healing, for that supernatural diagnosis and outcome, even from a surgery like your brother, Irene, instead of believing for the impossible, for the bigger things, we just put up with ongoing infirmity. That's making God small. You might think, well, that's just being real. God's real big. You know what I'm saying? How do we make God small? We make Him small by thinking that broken relationship is always going to be broken. It's just the way it's going to be. It's been that way for a decade. They're never going to change. What are we speaking when we say that, by the way? What are we speaking? Life and death in our tongue, church. What are we speaking? What are we believing? How big is God? And how small can we make Him just because we fall into these ruts and the things that, conventional wisdom comes at us with and says we should believe and expect out of life? We make God small when we think that, you know what? I'm not going to be one of those people who's going to get fresh revelation from God. I guess I'm just not one of those people who's ever going to really hear the voice of God and, get that tight and intimate with Him like some of these other people that I hear praying and stuff at the church. And you know what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think I got a little bit of it, but I guess that's all I'm ever going to get, a little bit. And those gifts of the Spirit, they're just probably not for me. They're for the rest of the church. Man, we start believing those things. We start confessing those things. And what we're actually doing is we're making God small. We're putting Him in a box. We're telling Him who He is and who He isn't and what He can and can't do. And we're speaking it over our lives and into our lives. We have that tendency. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to be that way any longer. We don't have to be those people who fit God into our experiences. We try to fit God into our little world where we reduce God to someone. Or here's the worst thing. Sometimes we reduce God to something. We reduce Him, the Almighty, to something that we feel better about, something that we can understand. We reduce Him to something that we can manage, that we can get our hands around, our minds around, you know, that we can really feel comfortable with. You know, when we make God smaller, we rob ourselves, but not only ourselves, but we rob others of the majesty, the beauty, the glory, the supernatural, the miraculous, the suddenly, the amazing, the bigness of God. That's what we do. When we make God small, when we put Him in a box, we're robbing ourselves and everyone around us. We're not going to do that anymore, are we?
Amen.
We're not going to do that. You know, the other thing is this. I thought about this. I'm laying the groundwork here to make sure everybody's like, I'm going to listen to that pastor through this series. You see what I'm doing here? I'm setting you all up, right? You know, the other thing, though, and this is a serious deal. This is so serious. The other thing that we do when we make God small is we actually commit a very significant sin when we put Him in a box, when we make Him small, when we wrap Him up into who we want Him to be. We create that sin of creating a God in our own image. We create the sin of actually making an idol. A God that kind of looks and feels and has some resemblance of God, but isn't fully God because we've dumbed Him down to fit into what we can understand and manage and all that stuff. That's a bad place to go. We all know that, right? It's a really bad place to go. And so we want to make sure that we get rid of the box right now. And that we get rid of the tendency to make Him small and to reduce Him. And that we start walking by faith and letting God be God. Letting God be big again in our lives and through our lives because He is worthy. Amen?
Amen.
A.W. Tozer. How many of you have read some of his stuff? It's serious stuff, man. It's good stuff. A.W. Tozer has this important insight. He says that apart from all previous matter, all life, all law, all space and all time, there is God. God gives to human life its only significance. There isn't any other apart from Him. And so what we're going to do the next few weeks is we're going to pursue Him. We're going to pursue God. We're going to explore His unchanging attributes. He is who He is. And we're going to find out more and more who He really is. We're going to allow His bigness to come alive in us. Are you ready to do that?
Amen.
That's His will for you, by the way, for your life, that you would know how big He is. His will for your life isn't that you would think of Him as small or make Him small, but His will, His desire for you is that you would experience, see, and be blown away by His bigness. And He doesn't want to hide His bigness from you. He doesn't. He wants you to see Him for all that He is. He does. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that this set of messages that the Lord is going to be giving us is going to gently lead us closer to Him, to walk closely with the living God and the loving God. My prayer is that through these messages that our faith would be rekindled. I'm talking about everyone's faith. You can look around the room and say, well, that dude over there, that lady over there, man, they've already got big faith. I'm talking about let's everybody expect and desire to go to a whole nother level of faith here. That's my prayer. There's more. It says in Scripture that He's transforming us, taking us into and through ever-increasing glory. He's always got more. If we ever think we got Him figured out and we've got enough of God, you're in a bad place, you're in a wrong place, you're in a prideful place. God is bigger. He's bigger. He's got more, and it's our joy to go and discover those things. And so that's my prayer, is that we would find great joy in discovering more of who God really is. Here's the other thing. The more we know God, the bigger God is in our lives, the more we have to give others. Seriously, the bigger God is in us, the better we're going to be at reaching those who don't know Him. The better we're going to be at showing those who have a twisted view of who God is, maybe because of hurt or other experiences in the past, the better we're going to be at showing those folks that are so precious, created in God's image, for the purpose of knowing Him and being with Him for eternity. We get to show those people the real God that we know, that we're growing in, the God who's alive and who's full of love. Man, there's so much good stuff. The more we know, the bigger our view of God gets, the better and the better and the better life becomes. So before we continue, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to steal a prayer. And preachers, we do this all the time. You know what I'm saying? We got to steal each other's material. So I'm going to steal something from this preacher man named the Apostle Paul. And I want to pray one of his prayers verbatim over us, the church. This is from Ephesians. This is a prayer he prayed over the church in Ephesus. Let's bow our heads and just receive this word and this prayer for us. So, Lord, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us right here at Evident Life Church, God, that You give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better, God. God, I ask that You would pour out wisdom and revelation, Lord, so that we would know You better, God. That You would pour out new wisdom, new revelation, new understanding, taking us to greater heights, to deeper places, to know You more, to know You better, God, because we know this. When we know You better, we make You bigger. And that's our desire, God, for You are worthy of us making You bigger. So open up our hearts and our minds even right now as we continue this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to engage with some theology in this whole series. And theology is simply this. It's the study of God. And so the series is essentially theology. We're going to study who God is. We're going to look at four reasons this morning why we need to do this, why we need to get theological right now. We're going to look at four reasons why we need to make God big again. The first reason is this. If we make God big, we will avoid deception. Reason number one, if we make God big, we will avoid deception. Check this out. The original fall of man, you can already be flipping back in your Bible to Genesis. Start going there even right now. Genesis chapter 3. The original fall of man occurred because man's understanding of God became distorted, all twisted up. And his view of God became smaller. Adam and Eve, they were in perfect unity with God. I mean, can you recall what Scripture says Adam and Eve enjoyed? They enjoyed such perfect unity that they walked with Him in the cool of the day, kind of like the coolness of this room. But Adam and Eve, they were in such unity. They had such relationship, oneness of God, that they walked with Him in the cool of the day. Now, He was like this, right? They were like this. He was like this. But they actually physically walked with God. on a perfect earth that he created where there was no sin, no death, no troubles, no sorrow, no nothing. They walked with the living God. They walked with the living God until their understanding of him became twisted and small. And that happened as a result of listening to the lies of the enemy. They listened to another voice. Check this out. Genesis 3, verses 1, 4, and 5. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was made more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say?'" I'm going to put on my serpent voice. "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?' You will not surely die." The serpent said to the woman, my kids are cringing right now. I know they are. I'm not even looking at them right now. I know what they're doing. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So there's the other voice talking to Adam and Eve, who are in perfect unity, walking with the living God in the cool of the day, enjoying perfection day in and day out, and in comes this little voice. Did I do a good job with the Satan voice? Come on, come on. That was off the cuff. That'll be my new Satan voice. So what did they do? They listened to this other voice, and they ate. They doubted in eating. What they were doing is they doubted the goodness of God. They doubted the sovereignty of God. They doubted the bigness of God. And the evidence of that is they listened to the other voice to the point of actually eating from that tree. They were deceived. They fell. And everything changed. Separation from God occurred. And instead of knowing him more, they knew him less. Less. It's because who we listen to and what we listen to matters greatly.
Amen.
What we listen to is going to shape our view of God. What we listen to and who we listen to is either going to make God bigger or it's going to make him smaller. At the early age of 19, a young man named Campbell Morgan had already enjoyed some success as a preacher. Here's a picture of him. Good looking young man. Look at him. He already had success as a preacher. 19 years old. You can start young. I'm looking over here at a couple young men. Start young. But suddenly something happened. He was attacked by doubts about the Bible and about the very character of God himself. You see, the writings of various scientists and agnostics like Charles Darwin, Thomas Huxley, and Herbert Spencer, they began to disturb him, confuse him. He had to do something because he was becoming confused and perplexed. So much so that, you know what he did? He canceled all of his future preaching engagements. That's how messed up this all started to get in his mind about who God was. It got to the point where he knew something had to happen. And so he took all those books that he was reading. He locked them up in a cupboard. He went down to the local bookstore and he bought a brand new Bible. And this is what he said. He said to himself, "I am no longer sure that this," he's talking about the Bible, "that this is what my father claims it to be, the Word of God. But of this I am sure, if it be the Word of God, and if I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul itself." In other words, if it is what it is, then it's going to heal me of this confusion and it's going to make God big again. Here was the result. Morgan said, "The Bible found me."
Wow.
Come on. And I want to say that to somebody in the room right now. Are you in a place of dryness, of doubt, of confusion? things are twisted in your mind and in your life, get into the Word of God, because the Bible will find you. The Word of God will find you. Truth will find you. It found this young 19-year-old Campbell Morgan in a time of deep despair and distress. But he looked to the right place, to the Word of God, and it found him with this new assurance way back in the day in 1883. Campbell Morgan was given the motivation to continue preaching and teaching. He got back on the horse, literally, back in those days, right? And he went back out declaring the Word of God with confidence. What had happened to this young man? God became big again in his life. God became big again, and it prevented him from complete disaster. And it put him back into his calling and his purpose, bringing the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a nation. God became big again. And so reason number one, if we make God big, we will avoid deception. Let's look at the second reason. If we make God big, we will avoid disappointment. There are times in our lives when we can feel abandoned and on our own. You don't need to raise your hand, but have you been there? I've been there. I would imagine every one of us gets there to some degree at some point. Turn to Psalm 9, verse 10, because here's an exciting promise that God has for us. The psalmist says that those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. There can be a lot of disappointments in life. There can be a lot of valleys in life. But those who know the name of the Lord, come on now. If you know the name of the Lord, you will never be forsaken. It doesn't matter what your surroundings look like, what the condition of life looks like. If you know the name of the Lord, you will never be forsaken. And now here's the deal. That word name in Scripture in Psalm 9 actually is best defined as character. So what that Scripture is really saying is those who know the character of God will never be forsaken. You don't have to worry because you know His character. You know Him. You know who He is. You understand Him. We can be assured that He'll never forsake us. That's incredible. And I hope that's a big faith builder, because that's the truth. Sometimes we wonder, how do I get out of the pit of despair? How do I handle a difficult situation? How do I handle bad news in my life? How do I handle that extreme disappointment in my life? Press into the character of God. Press into knowing Him more. And your faith is going to rise up, because you're going to once again be reminded that He's not forsaken you. He's not left you. He is for you. And He is with you at this very moment in time. Check this out. In Jeremiah 29, you're thinking 11. I did that one last week, all right? Jeremiah 29. This is 29 verses 13 and 14, though. Look what Scripture says. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I love this, verse 14. I might be found by you. No, okay, wait. It's possible that if you search, you know, if you're lucky, you're going to find me. No, okay. It says, you will find me. I will be found by you. That's what God is saying. If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I'll pull you out of that pit, whatever that situation is in life. Whatever disappointment it is that you're walking through and dealing with right now, if you are seeking me, you will find me and you will be pulled out of that place of captivity. That's a promise from the Lord. A prophetic word, a promise, a declaration about the character and nature of our loving, good, big, heavenly Father. And so once again, we're walking through disappointment. How do we walk out of it? We press into the living God. We get to know Him better. If we seek Him and make God big again in our lives, we won't be disappointed. Look, we're going to rediscover the bigness of His love when we seek Him. When we seek Him and press into Him, we're gonna see the bigness of His presence, the bigness of His mercy, the bigness of His grace, the bigness of His peace, the bigness of His joy. When we press into Him, when we seek Him, those are the kind of things. Who He is gonna ooze all over us. Surely goodness and mercy, that's who God is, will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm seeking Him, I'm pressing into Him, and I'm pressing onto Him, and I'm leaning into Him, and that's what's oozing out all over me. It's the stuff of God. It's God Himself who won't forsake you. Amen. It's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
I think it's pretty good news. I love God's Word, because when you find yourself in a funk, you know what I'm talking about? You get in the Word of God, and then life kind of becomes funky. You know what I'm saying? Oh, come on now. Anyway, that's the bass player in me coming out. Anyway, that was a little strange. Here's the deal about faith. I don't even know what you said over there, but I don't even want to know. Oh, here's the deal. We can hear about other people's experiences with God. We can read about great men and women of the faith. And that's important stuff to do. We need to build each other up, encourage one another. Testimonies are so important. The testimonies that get brought here on Sundays, get shared in life groups and in prayer meetings. So important. They build us up. They build us up. But until we get to really know God ourselves, our faith is going to be limited at best. And false faith at worst. We got to know Him ourselves, which means we got to seek Him out. We got to go after Him ourselves. Can't live on other people's experiences. We can be encouraged by other people's experiences and testimonies, but we're created to have our own reality, our own relationship with the living God, our own life in Him and through Him. And here's the deal. The more you know God, the bigger He becomes in your life. And the bigger God becomes in your life, the bigger that your faith becomes. And the bigger that your faith becomes, the bigger the mountains that you can move. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
And God has called us to speak to mountains and to move them. But it all goes back to knowing Him more. Knowing Him more. So let's encounter the third reason that we need to make God big again. Number three, if we make God big, we will avoid dryness. So we'll avoid deception, we'll avoid disappointment, and we will avoid dryness. Sometimes our lives can become spiritually dry. We find ourselves in a place where we're not hearing the voice of God. We aren't experiencing His presence. We just don't feel His grace at that moment. It's been too long since we've seen any kind of miracle, real powerful move of God. We aren't seeing His kingdom come in us and through us. We're spiritually dry. But we don't have to stay that way. I want to tell another story about how a whole nation came out of spiritual dryness. It was the nation of Wales. And it's no accident that the great Welsh revival at the beginning of the 20th century that turned the nation of Wales upside down and back to God, where people were actually vacating the pubs, that's called the bars, you know, they were running out of the bars and running into the churches in droves. It's no accident that that revival happened at a time when people had a reverent, big, high view of God. Revival happened in an entire nation, not only in one, two, three, a dozen people's lives, but an entire nation, because that nation's view of God got bigger. their awe of him increased and revival happened in a nation. People feared the Lord. They esteemed him greatly for who he is. He is God. They had a knowledge of him like we haven't seen for quite a while in some of the church. So if we desire a personal spiritual revival, or if we desire a spiritual revival in our community, in our culture, then it's really time for the church to make God big again. Because when God is viewed for who he is, the big God, the Almighty, revival comes as a result. In you personally, but also in our community. So we need to make God big again, church. If we're not making God big again, ain't no one making God big again. So we are the people of God who know him, who are walking with him. And so we're going to make him big again in our lives, but also for our community. I want to visit one more important statement from A.W. Tozer. He says this, "I wonder how many gospel churches, by their frivolousness, shallowness, coarseness, and worldliness, have grieved the Holy Spirit until he's withdrawn in hurt silence. We must see God again. We must know God again. We must hear God again. Nothing less than this will save us." Now, I'm grateful to pastor a church that gets this, that understands this, that is pursuing God, that is making God bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more we do this, the more of his presence that we will enjoy. We will experience his glory more and more. We will encounter the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anything less. I don't want to settle. I don't want a small God, and I don't want a small faith, and I don't want a small life. I don't want a small impact. I want to go big or go home, as they say. And I don't want to go home. I want to keep preaching another hour, in fact. But I'm joking. Half an hour. Let's go to our final point. This is a very, very short one. I'm going to ask the band to come up. The fourth reason that we need to make God big again is this. We make God big again because he is worthy. I just feel compelled that we say that together. He is worthy. Let's say that together even right now. He is worthy. We make God big again because he is worthy. He's worthy. We seek to know him more because he is worthy. We seek to increase our awe of him because he is worthy. We study him and his word because he is worthy. We make God big again because
he is worthy.
Amen. Amen. So I want to just start doing it even right now. I want us to stand up. And we're going to conclude this service with a couple things. Communion, but before we do that, I just feel compelled that we go back into that Revelation song and we sing it from this place of making God big again, for real. Now, when we make God big, we don't sing like this. You know what I'm saying? And we don't clap like this, like we're at a golf game. I want us to make God big again for the fourth point, if nothing less, because he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our clapping. He's worthy of our shouting. He's worthy of our singing. He's worthy of our hands raised to him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Let's sing.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. God Almighty, who was and is and is.
Let's adore Him. Let's come on. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Blessing, honor, and glory be unto your name and no other. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You may be seated. We're going to pass out the elements for communion. We just celebrated Easter. Oh man, wasn't that glorious? I really hope that over the last few weeks that you've spent time connecting with just how far Jesus went for you. How far He went for you. The cross wasn't easy, and it wasn't small. It was big. It wasn't halfway. It wasn't convenient. Wasn't comfortable. Wasn't an afterthought. What the Lord did for us was He went all the way. He went big for you. Big. Put it all in. All in for you. Holding nothing back so that we would lack nothing in Him. We're going to take the bread and we're going to drink of the cup. And we're reminded what this bread represents. It represents His body. It represents His body that was broken. That's why these are just in little pieces. Because His body was ripped into little pieces for us. He was ripped into pieces. So that we don't have to live a life that's ripped in pieces. He was broken so that we no longer have to be broken. He took that big step all the way to the cross so that we could live big and complete and whole in Him. He was torn apart so that we never have to live apart from our Heavenly Father, our Creator, ever again. Not a single moment, not a single day, but forever living with Him for all eternity. His body broken. We're told to take and eat of this, not as a religious activity, but as a remembrance. Big Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take it in. And the cup that we're holding right here, it's pretty small, isn't it? Small little plastic cups with this juice in it. I hope that you can get beyond the smallness of this cup and this serving and remember the bigness of the serving of grace, of new life that poured out of our Lord and Savior on that cross. When the nails went in His hands, the thorn on His head, the spear in the side, blood and water gushing out. This big cup represents the big covenant, the new covenant that we now have in Christ. So take and drink and remember just how big God is and how much He loves you. stand up. We're going to close. Invite the prayer ministers to come forward. Just want to close with this. If you walked in this room broken and hurting, if you walked in this room feeling small, feeling insignificant, feeling lost, feeling desperate, feeling disappointed, feeling dry, God is not small, but He is big. And He is here today for you. He's not far off. He's right here, right now, calling you to Him, to be refilled by Him, to be revived by Him. Before you walk out of here, come and receive from Him. Maybe you've never received from God before. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him, but today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to get to know the big God and the big Savior, Jesus Christ, for real, for now. Today's your day. When we close and the congregation walks out to fellowship with one another, you come and you receive the big gift that our big God has for you today. God bless you. I love you. God loves you. Go out and live a big life in a big way for our big God, because He is worthy. God bless.